27 tonight, Matthew 27 is where I feel like I'm going to go, and I've had two thoughts bouncing around my head. You preachers know how that is, and so I'm just trusting the Lord, maybe one for tonight, one for tomorrow night, and appreciate you being here this week. Pastor Tim, thank you and the church for the accommodations I've had this week, for the fellowship, the meals. It's been such a blessing. I love to come to this part of the country, love to be at Liberty, and the past few years we've gotten to be at Canaan on Thursday night. Let me encourage you, men of God, if you ain't tired of hearing me, by Thursday night, come be with us in that men's meeting. And I believe they're going to feed you after the service. And so do that if you can. And so it's just good to be here. I love you. Appreciate all you. And I desire your prayers. I know you preachers know what it is. We need the Lord. We can't do a thing without him. And I know you've heard the story. I'm going to tell it again. But they said this old preacher had a lady in his church, Preacher Thad, that sat in the back. Every time he'd get up to preach, she'd say, "Bless him, Lord. Give him that holy unction." Next time he got up, Preacher Mitch, you do it again. "Bless him, Lord. Give him that holy unction." Finally, somebody said, "Sis, just what is that unction?" She said, "I ain't for sure, but I know when he ain't got it." Amen. Praise God. Amen. How many know you need the unction tonight? Amen. Need the touch of God. Amen. Now, this message be a little different tonight. That's all right. Yeah. It'll be the word, and so you just pray, and we'll just trust the Lord for the results. Amen. And glad you're here. Amen. Matthew 27. If you're there, say amen. If you love the Lord, say glory.
Glory.
If you'll give the preacher 2 hours, say preach. Preach. Amen. I like you. Amen. Amen. I want you to come back tomorrow night. Amen. All right. Matthew 27. I'm going to read verses 1-5. And then we're going to go to verse 26 after that, and I'm going to read a few verses. And I appreciate your patience tonight as we do a little more reading than usual. But look at Matthew 27, verses 1-5. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. And Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, notice this, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? See thou to that." And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed. And notice this, he went and hanged himself. Turn with me to verse 26 very quickly. I'll read fast 10 verses. I appreciate your prayers. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Oh, and they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own raiment on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of a skull, they gave him vinegar to drink mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments, casting lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. Pastor Mitch Ingram, would you ask a blessing on God's word? Oh, help us, God. Oh. Oh, God, help us.
Amen.
You may be seated. If the Lord will help me tonight for a few moments of time, Pastor Tim, I want to preach on this thought tonight. Two trees. two trees. I believe here in Matthew 27, we see two different trees, two very different trees. I believe it's in Matthew 27, the first five verses, we read of a tree that Judas went out and hung himself on. And then we'll move further in the chapter, and we read of another tree. In fact, more than once in the Word of God, the cross is referred to as the tree. And we see another tree, thank God. We see Jesus going to the tree, the cross of Calvary, and there he bled and died, amen, purchasing our redemption. Oh, but we see two trees, and we see two very different trees. And if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on two trees tonight. Just got 3 points. Amen. And we'll go to the house, and you come back tomorrow. Amen. Bring somebody with you. But oh, tonight, the first thing, if you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I want you to see the catastrophe. I want you to see the catastrophe. Oh, aren't you glad, listen, that Jesus walked up Calvary's hill? And aren't you glad he went to that tree? Oh, thank God he hung, bled, and died, I said, for our sins. But tonight I want you to consider the catastrophe as we consider Judas tonight, as we consider Judas who walked up the hill of regret and hung from a tree in shame. Oh, tonight, have you ever asked yourself, why did Judas do what he did? Was it anger? Was it greed? Oh, I can't give you all the answers, but I know that it all ended the same way in regret. It all ended the same way in regret. He betrayed the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, and then he went out and hung himself. He walked up the hill of regret alone. One writer said this about him. One author penned these words. He said, its trail was rock strewn with shame and hurt. Its landscape was as barren as his soul. Thorns of remorse tore at his ankles and calves. The lips that had kissed a king were cracked with grief. And on his shoulder he bore a burden that bowed his back. His own failure. Oh, I want you to see the catastrophe tonight. How tragic, as his mind was tormented, as he was taunted by the tempter, reminding him of all of his terrible wrong. Oh, listen, what a sad commentary when we consider this man, Judas. Oh, but can I say this before we leave our first point tonight? I wonder tonight how many may be sitting among us that are carrying the same load. I wonder tonight how many is sitting on a padded pew on a Tuesday night at Liberty Free Will Baptist Church, and you are dealing with regret, with shame, hurt, grief, failure, despair. How many tonight may be dealing with loneliness, unforgiven sin, unresolved mistakes, unanswered questions, living with lamented decisions, with guilt, heaviness, hopelessness, longing for relief as you wallow in your weariness and wounds tonight? And like Judas, friend, you are dealing with regret. And I'm reminded of what the psalmist David said in Psalm 38 and 6. So no doubt this describes many people that we meet every day. He said, I am troubled. Oh, I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all long. Oh, does that not sound like some that you've met along life's way? Oh, I see the catastrophe. Oh, as I see Judas betraying the Lord and walking up that hill of regret and hanging himself from a tree. Oh, I see the catastrophe tonight. But not only as we consider these two trees do I see the catastrophe, but tonight I want you to consider the contrast. Oh yes, friend, I want you to consider the contrast, because I don't have to tell you tonight there is a great difference between these two trees. Oh yes, we see one hanging from a tree, but oh, thank God, aren't you see the other hanging on a tree? Oh, yes, one is hanging from a rope in offense, but thank God one is hanging from nails in obedience. Oh, listen, one is hanging, listen, in sin. But oh, thank God, aren't you glad the other was hanging for our sin tonight? Oh, listen, one tree is a tree of hopeless despair. But thank God the other tree is a tree of hope-filled delight. And so I want to ask you tonight, sir, ma'am, can I ask you as we consider the contrast between these two trees? Will it be guilt or grace? Will it be death or life? Will it be darkness or light? Will it be frustration or forgiveness? Will it be regret or redemption? Will it be a hangman's noose or a life preserver? Or will it be sin or the Savior? Will it be hell or will it be heaven? Oh, tonight there is a contrast. There is a contrast between these two trees. Oh, when I consider Judas tonight, when I consider Judas, oh, can I just say, as we look at verse 3, what the Bible said, did you notice that phrase? The Bible said he repented himself. If you've ever looked up that phrase in the Greek, repented himself, do you know what that means? Do you know what that phrase literally means? He repented himself. That in translation literally means regret. 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 Oh, and can I say unto you, I believe in the day and hour in which we live, there are many who are trying to deal with sin and regret themselves. Oh, yes, we're living in a society, in a world, even in our churches today. Listen, that there are many, Brother David, that are dealing with sin and regret themselves. Can I prove it to you? Oh, listen, the statistics say that 82% of the American population lives with regret. Oh, yes, I found that 14.5 million adults have major depressive episode with severe impairment. Oh, 5 million adolescents have had a major depressive episode. Statistics will tell you that in 2023, 11.4% of U.S. adults took prescription medication for depression. A 2019 study showed that 1.1% of males and 1.9% of females between the ages of 13 and 19 have taken anti-anxiety medication. Rate only increases with age. Can I give you some more? Hey, this ain't Bible. I know this is statistics, but it's real. I'm talking about the contrast. I'm talking about Judas repented. Self, you know what that means? Regret. Regret. There's a lot of people, brother, living in regret. In 2023, there were 49,316 suicides in the U.S. Suicides increased 37% between 2000 and 2018, and the percentage had a slight decline but returned to its peak in 2022. Listen to me, friend. There were twice as many suicides as homicides in 2022. Oh, listen. In 2022, suicide, listen to this sad, staggering statistic. In 2022, listen, suicide was the second leading cause of death in ages 10 to 14. And it was also the second leading cause of death in ages 25 to 34. 9% of students attempted suicide in 2023. In 2023, the highest suicide rate was among adults 85 or older. Listen, it has been found that 20.4 million Americans suffer from both a mental health disorder and a substance abuse. Oh, listen. Drug overdose has killed approximately 1 million people since 1999. As of 2023, 47.7 million Americans 12 and older have been illegal drug users in the last 30 days. 28.9 Americans who have consumed alcohol have an alcohol abuse disorder. Someone said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you, friend, that we are in spiritual warfare. I'm telling you tonight, we are in spiritual warfare. That's why Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, friend. It's real. It's real. We're in a spiritual battle, and 82% of Americans, just like Judas, are living with regret. Oh, but can I give you the answer tonight? Whoop, I'm going to anyway. Can I give you the answer tonight? Wow, the Bible says Judas repented himself, which literally means regret. I'm glad to inform you tonight that when Jesus and his disciples taught and preached on repent, it was a whole different word. Do you know what the word is in translation? When they preached repent, it is not the word regret. It is the word reconsider. It is the word reconsider. It literally means to think differently. Oh, yes, it literally means compunction or guilt, but not to harm you, but guilt to help you to turn from your sin and to trust in the Savior, because he's the only hope that we have today. Amen. Oh, yes, I'm telling you tonight, it's either regret or reconsider. It is regret or redemption. Oh, one speaks of hopelessness and the other one speaks of hope. Oh, listen, that's why God spoke through his servant Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30, and he said, all heaven and earth to record against you this day that I have set before you life in death and blessing and cursing. He said, I would therefore that thou would choose life, that both thou in thy seed live. Oh, I want you to consider the catastrophe that Judas, in regret, what repents within himself, goes up the hill and hangs himself swinging from a tree. But thank God, I'm glad for the other tree. There is a contrast. Thank God Jesus went up the hill of Calvary and hung on the bloody tree for your sin and my sin, that he might deliver us and give us eternal hope. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Brings me to my third point. Not only do I want you to see the contrast and I want you to see the catastrophe, but number three, you still with me? Say amen. Oh, I want you to consider Christ tonight. I want you to consider Christ. Saved or unsaved, consider Christ. Oh, because I said, I believe even in the church world, folks who got their name on a church ledger and come to church every Sunday are sitting on a pew drowning in regret and shame and despair over their choices, over their past, over things they've done, over things they're doing. But oh, tonight you don't have to live in regret. Oh, no, tonight there's a better way. I want you to consider Christ. Thank God Jesus died on the hill of there on the cross of Calvary. And it was there, friend, that he bore our sins to save us, to set us free, and to give us life, both life abundant and life eternal. Thank God. Can I beg you? Can I encourage you? Can I implore you? Don't you try to bear the load of your own sin, shame, and regret. Oh, no. Don't you live bound, broken, and bitterly lost, and then die here unprepared to meet God. When tonight you can choose a better way. I ask you tonight, will it be the hangman's noose or will it be the life preserver? What will you choose tonight? Which will you choose tonight? Could I just share a few verses with you? Amen. Going to anyway. Preach on, preacher, preach. Amen. Thank you, brother. Hey, listen to me. John 10. You remember what Jesus said? Compare the devil to a thief. The thief is not come, but for thee and to kill and to destroy. But whoop, he said, I am come that you might have life, have it more abundantly. Someone said, preacher, what are you trying to say? It's either Satan or the Savior. It's either Satan or the Savior. I'm going to go on record tonight and tell you, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Amen. Oh, you remember in John chapter 3, when Jesus had a conversation with a religious man. Oh, listen, spoke to Nicodemus, and here's what he said. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I said, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm telling you, it's either sin or salvation. Amen. It's either sin or salvation. Oh, you remember what Paul said under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost in Romans 5 when he said, God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. Someone said, you, what are you trying to say? I'm going to ask you tonight, what will your sentence be? It'll either be a searing guilt or a satisfying justification. It'll either be a searing guilt or a satisfying justification. I ain't the saltiest fry of the Happy Meal, but I'd rather have justification. I'd rather have Jesus. I'd rather have salvation. I'd rather go his way. I don't want to live in regret. I want redemption. Forgiveness. I want peace down in my soul. Amen. Did you hear these statistics? Don't get nervous. I ain't going over them again. But did you hear them? Suicide. Suicide. Drug use. Alcoholism. Many other things people are doing to try to satisfy their soul. To find peace, medication, whatever they can get their hands on, to try to find some peace, some resolution, to try to bury that guilt, bury that shame, that heaviness, that discouragement, whatever it might be, trying to get rid of it. Like Judas, brother, walking up the hill alone in regret. But oh, can I encourage you tonight, whoever you may be, wherever you may have been, whatever you may have done, how long you may have done it for, thank God you don't have to go the way of regret. Tonight, listen, you can come the way of redemption. Tonight you can repent. You can reconsider. You can think differently and say, I've done it my way long enough. Tonight I'm going to trust in Jesus. What he did for me on the tree at Calvary. Oh, listen, I'm not going to do it myself. I can't do it myself, but I'm going to trust in him, and I'm going to lean upon him. Thank God tonight, I'm glad to tell you there is one that can forgive you, comfort you, give you peace and blessed hope. And thank God, I'm glad he's real. He's real. And today he stands ready and willing to do something for you tonight. Amen. I hate the devil. One of these days, look up in here, church. One of these days, he's going to get bound up and cast into a lake of fire. And I'd like to be the one to push him in. Amen. Woo! You know what the devil will do? Look at me. Look at me. Hard to miss. Look up here tonight. You know what he'll do? He'll always remind you of your guilt. But he'll never tell you about God's grace. He loves to remind you of your mess, but he'll never tell you about mercy. He loves to remind you of your failures, but he never says a word about forgiveness. He loves to remind you of your regrets, but avoids mentioning redemption. Oh, he loves to tell you loser you've been, but he'll never tell you about God's love. Oh, he'll remind you of how lost you are, but he'll never tell you about the life that is found in Christ Jesus. And tonight I want to say, you don't have to leave here in regret when there is redemption waiting for you. And oh, I wonder even how many people live under guise of Christianity. Listen, but still there's things in their life that haunt them, that trouble them. Listen, that press upon them in the darkness of night when nobody else is around, and the devil beat you to death with it, and you live there in regret, in shame, and failure. But oh, thank God, I'm glad the blood of Jesus tonight is real to cleanse you and wash you and forgive you and redeem you. And thank God, I'm glad he can do it tonight. Amen. And I want to say this, if you're saved and there's something in your life you need to repent of, can I remind you, maybe not even repent of, maybe there's just something you need help with, something you need help letting go, getting over, making it through, getting past it, if you will. Thank God, 1 John 1:9 said, if you'll confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Someone said, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I've messed up. I've failed. Did you hear what Brother Robert said? He's the God of second chances. And tonight, if you'll come repenting, not repenting within yourself, just simply coming with regret, trying to work it out yourself, trying to bury it under your good works and your busyness of life and all these other, but coming tonight, reconsidering, thinking differently, saying, I'm going to turn it over to Jesus and go his way tonight. Oh, man, if you're lost, can I tell you the same one that 6 years ago stands ready to save you tonight? And can I say this to the church? Let me say this to the church, and I'm almost done. I will say this to the church. In Romans chapter 8, I believe we have one of the most precious promises made available to us that oftentimes we look over. Paul said this to the church at Rome. Brother, he said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Now listen to this. He that spared not his own son. He went to the tree, honey. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I'm no theologian, I'm no scholar, but you know what I believe Paul was saying to us? Paul was saying, if God through Christ on the cross met our greatest need, the salvation of our soul, the redemption of our soul, then mark her down, God is big enough and God is willing enough to take care of every other need you'll ever have in this life. Thank God the same one that saved you is the same one tonight that'll help you and bless you and provide for you and forgive you and help you. And thank God, I'm glad that God through Christ will provide for us. Amen. And so church, whatever your need might be tonight, don't be like some people. I got this. I'll handle it. I'll get through it. Yeah, you will. Judas walked up that hill in regret, repenting himself, regret and shame. And look where it ended him. Can you see him swinging from the tree, rope around his neck? Oh, my. But thank God for another tree, the tree of Calvary, that God through Christ on the tree provided our salvation. And according to what Paul said, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And so whatever it is you need tonight, the same Jesus that saved you is the same Jesus that'll take care of you tonight. And I want to say, if you're lost, thank God he saved me. He saved Preacher Thad. He saved Brother Robert. Saved Preacher Tim. Preacher Mitch. All down the line. Listen, and the same one that saved them tonight will save you. Amen. The same one that forgave me. Listen, can I just be honest with you? Can I be transparent? I'm almost done. Don't worry. Can I be transparent? The last 36 years I've been saved, there have been many a time, Preacher Tim, I've had to find me an altar. Say, God, forgive me. Amen. Forgive me for what I said. Forgive me for what I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for what I didn't do. Forgive me. And oh, thank God, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Listen, for redemption. Aren't you glad for a God who's still in the business of redemption? Listen, I heard a story years ago. If you've heard it, just amen it like you ain't heard it. But there was a story years ago in Oklahoma City. Years ago in Oklahoma City, there was a tornado that ravaged the city of Oklahoma City. I mean, buildings were leveled, homes were destroyed, lives were lost. And there was a church. There's a church outside of Oklahoma City. It sits on a hill, and it's a Bible-believing church with a big, tall steeple and a cross at the top. And when the rescue workers and the relief workers came into Oklahoma City, they made that church their base. And at nighttime, they would shine a great light to the top of that steeple, listen, illuminating the cross. And then they would get in their vehicles, and they would drive through the storm-strewn streets of Oklahoma City. And from their loudspeakers, here's what they'd say. If you're hungry, go to the cross. If you're thirsty, go to the cross. If you need shelter, go to the cross. If you're alone, you know somebody cares, go to the cross. Someone said, preacher, what are you saying tonight? I'm telling you, go to the cross. Go to the cross. Go to the cross. The preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. Thank God for the power of God that can save and keep and preserve and bless and help and revive. Thank God for the cross. And so I see the catastrophe. Judas, in his regret and shame, after selling the Lord for 30 pieces of silver, walks up that hill and hangs himself from a tree. What a catastrophe. What a sad commentary. But oh, I'm telling you, there's a contrast between that tree and the tree upon which Jesus died. Amen. And tonight, friend, you don't have to live in regret when tonight there is redemption. And you may be here tonight saved, and there's something that you've held on to, something that you have battled with, something that has troubled you, something that has robbed you of the blessings and the joy of God and the peace of salvation. There's something maybe you tonight just need to get help with. Don't you try to work it out yourself, but tonight bring it to the Lord. That thing is too big for you, but thank God it is not too big for him. I believe depression is real and discouragement is real. And I believe there are other things we battle. And as long as we're in this flesh, we're going to battle it till we get to heaven. Oh, but thank God, aren't you glad for the victory that we have in Jesus Christ tonight? And I'm telling you, there is redemption in him. And I'm telling you, Saint of God, you can get your help. And I'm telling you, wayward friend, you can get restored tonight. You don't have to live one more day outside of God's will and disobedience. And I'm telling you, lost soul, tonight could be your night to be gloriously saved by the good grace of God. Get washed in the precious, rich, red, raw, redeeming blood of Jesus and leave out of here saved and ready for heaven tonight. What will it be, friend? Will it be regret or will it be redemption? 82%. The American population living with regret. I don't know what it is the devil, the accuser of the brethren, has used against you, is using against you, but I'm glad tonight there's help in Jesus. And maybe tonight this message wasn't for you. Maybe tonight it was for the one sitting beside you, in front of you, behind you. But let me remind you of what I said a moment ago, that the same Jesus, same God that took care of our greatest need through Jesus on the tree is willing and able to take care of every other need you have. And so tonight, if you come in with a need, there's something you're praying about, something you need God to do, oh, tonight be a good night to come and get your help. Tonight be a good night to come and pray for that lost child, that wayward grandbaby. Tonight, it'd be a good night to come and pray for that coworker, that friend, that neighbor that is half a heartbeat away from hell. Tonight be a good night to pray for our nation that is, listen, being saturated with sin. Oh, tonight be a good night to pray for our churches that so desperately need revival, to pray that the power of God would move in our communities and that men and women would be saved by the good grace of God. Oh, tonight, and if you're living with regret, oh, tonight be a good night to hear some redemption as the singers come, as the musicians come. Tonight, would you consider Christ? Would you